Hello and welcome to QS Cast. Each week we take a look at the big stories in Magic Finance and give you the story on what's worth buying and selling. If you're subscribed to Quiet Speculation's Insider Service, you're hearing this podcast on Wednesday. If you're not already signed up, you had to wait till Friday to hear this. If you're not familiar with the Insider Service, head on over to quietspeculation.com and you'll find out about all the ways we can help you pay less money to play Magic.
What's up, everyone? QS Cast. We have returned after a two-week hiatus. Chaz joining you, as well as Tarkan. What's up, Tarkan?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? So just Tarkan and I holding the cast, well, I guess going forward. So I guess this is a good time to talk about and be very transparent about what has happened the last couple weeks. So Corbin will not be joining us routinely. We might have him back as a guest from time to time, but Corbin is off to TCG Player, so much congrats to him. We're sorry to see him go, but it was kind of last second, so we just really didn't have enough time to get together and have a regular cast the last couple weeks. In addition to Corbin leaving, just our schedules did not match up. Tarkan, you were in the process of moving. I was in the process of dealing with a massive hurricane. So it's just like, a lot of different things going on in the last couple weeks.
That sometimes they have a way of.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are back. It's going to be Tarkan and I going forward. We will tap into guests, as regularly as possible to kind of fill the void. But Corbin will be missed, and it was great. A great run there. I mean, for a few weeks there, I think it was like four or five, six maybe episodes. I mean, it was a really great run, I guess.
No, it was a lot of fun, and I'm excited for Corbin. I think he's got a great opportunity, I wish him the best, and I think we're going to keep on doing what we're doing, and it's going to be good times, and yeah, man, it's all going to be good.
Yeah. So on the docket for this week, I mean, we had the chance to talk about and see a Kaladesh effect standard. We didn't get to talk about like it immediately, so it's kind of like a week later. So we're just going to talk about, just general things we've been seeing going into this week. After this recording, we will be going into the Pro Tour this weekend. I will be covering the Pro Tour for QS. So tune into that coverage. I mean, stellar coverage. I mean, we're going to have, as soon as the tournament starts, we're going to be having information. So if you're not an insider, I would really suggest, getting insider, at least for this tournament. There's a lot of valuable information, to be had.
On that, Chaz, you send out, I think they're kind of like email blasts to people. This is even prior before the event even starts to kick off. You're sending out email blasts about things that are selling, things that's hot on the floor, or what QS has noticed as far as vendor behavior, which is all critical information to have. Especially, Pro Tours, things spike immediately. I mean, stuff happens on the fly. It's really important to have all this information.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No. I think that, I think you need to be tuning in early and pay attention to those email blasts, and be sure that you're getting them, because they do have a lot of really important information.
Right. Whether it be myself, Kelly, Doug, I mean, whoever's sending them out, I mean, they, like you said, they are critical. The information is very timely. I mean, even an hour before, I mean, it's just things, there's a lot of hype surrounding Pro Tours, as we've seen for countless Pro Tours before this. And like you said, cards can immediately spike within the matter of hours. So, having the information timely is really important, and QS has delivered on that front. I'm not like trying to like push it, but I mean, this is the QS cast, and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't think it was worth recommending. And I do write for the site, and the coverage is A+ for Pro Tours. As everything else that you're getting.
It's Pro Tour. It's the Pro Tour week. It's Pro Tour weekend. I mean, listen, if it's not QS, wherever, you need to be paying attention is the point, I think, here. And QS does a great job of that. But timeliness of the information is critical with Pro Tours. I think that's what we really need to drive home.
Yeah.
And, just you got to be up on it. You got to be up on what's going on.
Yeah, because as quickly as cards increase, they do decrease at the same time. So it's almost like you need to be as quick as possible about buying stuff. So just A, your stuff doesn't get canceled, but they kind of crack down on a lot of that stuff, on TCG Player at least. And,
With today's cast, I think we're trying to prepare you, you know,
right,
hopefully in advance and get you some ideas of things that you can be picking up now so you don't have to be scrambling over the weekend.
Right. So Docket is, we will be talking about stuff that to consider for Pro Tour. Tarkan, as always, we're going to try to stay on the general itinerary for each cast. So we'll talk about some interests, stuff moving, try to identify some stuff, on the interest page over the last, you know, I guess week or so. And yeah, we'll just wrap it up on stuff that you should be trading for, you know, the eve of the Pro Tour, and that all just really coincides with our first topic. So, Pro Tour, we've been talking about this a little bit, Tarkan. What are some trends that you're seeing just from, you know, we saw Star City Games. Now, things will be different. I mean, the landscape's going to be different after a Pro Tour, but there are some general trends that we are seeing this past week and now going into the Pro Tour.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was all about aggro and all about vehicles and just all about aggro. And
yep.
I suspect that that's going to continue as a tier one strategy. I don't suspect that that's going to be the deck type that's going to break the Pro Tour, that's going to dominate the Pro Tour. It's definitely going to be prevalent. It's definitely going to be there. I don't think, obviously, that deck is the vehicles deck in particular is quite good and it's not going anywhere. But I think the mid-range and control strategies are going to adapt, possibly even some sort of mid-range combo, sort of mid-range strategy is going to adapt to combat all the aggro that's running around. Typically in the past, I mean, this is very common for aggro to come out the gate with a new set. It's one of the most viable ways to kind of test out a new format and a big rotation. So I'm not really surprised. I know... Smuggler's Copter, which, I mean, has been talked about to death.
Yeah.
and exploded. And, you know, Chaz, you know, big ups to Chaz. You were really excited about Smuggler's Copter from the beginning. Even when it went up to, I think it was $4, you were aggressively buying and thought it had plenty of room to grow. And it did. Admittedly, I was a little bit more conservative. I was a little more hesitant to buy it at $4. I thought it could maybe get up to like $8 or so, but I wasn't necessarily buying in, and it's just, it's done amazingly well. I think it's at $16 now, $17, something like that.
Yeah.
So great call on that. Yeah, I mean, I think that moving into the Pro Tour, what people want to be looking at is, what are the decks that are going to be combating those strategies, whether they be alternative aggro strategies or, control and mid range. And, we were discussing some things that we liked, that slot into those type of decks to beat the aggro deck.
Yeah, so a lot of things are hush-hush before the Pro Tour. We actually even didn't get to see another Star City Games open this past week, so we have to kind of dig deep and try to look at anywhere and everywhere for any outliers or, you know, metrics to use going into the Pro Tour.
Yep.
Like you said, I mean, I don't think Smuggler's Copter is going away. I think it's going to show up at the Pro Tour. It's a really strong card. They pushed it to be a strong card. And like you said, I liked the card from the start. I liked it at $4. And and here we are. I mean, a cast and I wrote my full set review prior to the card exploding. I mean, I kind of just had that feeling. So,
yeah.
You know, ups to us, I guess, on this cast, if you were listening. Or you know, follow me on Twitter or see anything that I was posting. Yeah, I think I made some people happy on that front. If anything,
I mean,
just they're not now spending $15 on the card. So.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be buying in now. I mean, unless you just have the deck and you want to play it. If you want to play, I mean, but that goes across. I mean, if you ever want to play any deck and you just have to have it, go for it and buy the card. But if you're looking to get in, now's not the time. I will say that I do, you know, like most of these cards, I think post Pro Tour, I think Smuggler's Copter is going to drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How far it's going to go down, I mean, we could be in a Siege Rhino kind of scenario, potentially dropping as low as $5-6. Yeah, I mean, I definitely would not be. I mean, there's no more real money to be made.
Yeah, I compared it to Spellqueller, and it's been holding up so far. I think this is like a $6 to $8 range card, you know, post Pro Tour and in the coming months, because we do have a bit of a gap between now and Aether Revolt, so there is some time for more of these cards to be open, more of these cards to be in the pool of of, you know, the overall supply of this card. But, I was saying, I do think it's going to show up. Now, there's some other cards, just so I'm as transparent, I'm trying to, like, look high and low for any kind of trends. And I look at, you know, I look through the Haruria results. So this is coming from Japan. Okay. I'm really liking Elder Deep Fiend. And I'm liking Elder Deep Fiend a lot more. We did see the Grixis emerge, or I think it was Grixis. We have seen emerge strategies, you know, as early as the first week of Star City Games. It was successful, and I think it's going to continue to be successful. And here's why. Eldritch Moon and Shadows of Innistrad, I think a lot of the format is going to be vested around those two sets. I do think Kaladesh brought a lot to the table, but the point is that Battle for Zendikar and Oath of the Gatewatch, they have brought standalone powerful cards, Sylvan Advocate, Gideon, stuff like that, but decks are not built around those mechanics. I mean, you don't see allies, you don't see, you know, a lot of Eldrazi. Maybe we might, but I mean, it's Delirium is such a good ability, and Emerge is such a good ability. There's so much to be had out of those two sets that it kind of sets the tone for a lot of the current standard.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that, and that's a four of in most of the deck list that's playing.
Yeah.
Is that correct, Chaz?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it from any flavor of Emerge to Zombies that I've been seeing out of, like I said, Haruria. There's a lot of applications for Elder Deep Fiend.
Now that's actually really interesting, and I was not aware that it was being played in Zombies. Is it just sort of, is it just kind of like just a beater that they?
I mean, it's easy to emerge. I mean, when you're playing stuff like Haunted Dead, you're playing stuff like the Prized Amalgam. I mean, all those cards count toward its emerge, and essentially, again, I talked about this on the Goldfish cast. I mean, it's a Vendilion click. I mean, it's a 5/6 Vendilion click. It's easy to emerge. You get all those cards back out of your graveyard, so you're actually like doing the deck. You know, you're playing into the deck's strengths of putting stuff into your graveyard.
Right, and it's Eldritch Moon, which obviously is a smaller set. It's also surprisingly cheap right now. The buy-in is, I think we saw $250 at Card Kingdom. Possibly you can get it for less if you really shop around.
Yeah.
Interesting thing is the spread, which is the, you know, the difference between the retail price and the buy list price. The spread is, I think, at like 5% or less. I think,
yeah, it's under 10% right now.
Yeah. So you can buy it for $250 and sell it for like $2.35 or something crazy like that. I mean, it's literally no risk. And this is the kind of card that's just well positioned, to combat, you know, the aggressive archetypes. Another, you know, looking at just other cards that are kind of low cost and are interestingly positioned. We were talking about Mausoleum Wanderer and Spell Queller from the Spirits deck, which, from my understanding, admittedly, I don't have a lot of testing experience with the Spirits deck, but from what I'm hearing, the Spirits deck is really, 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 really tough for the vehicles deck to handle. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I said I think that's the deck that's on the like the hush hush. I think it's deceptively powerful. No one really was bringing it early on, but I do think that deck has legs. I mean, it's good. You're like you said, it combats some of the other strategies in the format. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Spellcrawler starts showing up, especially because we've been seeing people, you know, furiously trying to build around the Aetherworks Marvel list, trying to make it as viable as possible. I know there's something there. I've tested with it. It definitely can work. It's definitely consistent and powerful. So what better way to deal with Aetherworks Marvel than Spellcrawler?
Exactly, it's funny, you jumped right into the segue, but yes, Spellqueller deals with Aetherworks Marvel, which Aetherworks Marvel is kind of my it's a boomer bust pick. I'm fully aware it could be flat or it could totally pick out the tour. I know people are testing it. I've been sent lists from people I know that are very, very impressed, that have put up amazing results with it. It does very, very well against the vehicles deck. It does very poorly against Spellqueller, as you said. So, if we just look at, I hate to say paper, rock, scissors, but if we think, you know, okay, you know, vehicles is the deck to beat, you know, the Aetherworks Marvel decks are able to deal with vehicles and Spirits can deal with both of them, then you might absolutely be correct. Spirits might be the deck that's just sort of ends up being the breakout. And importantly enough, also on that deck, all of those staples are very, very low. Spellqueller now is at its all-time low. I think it's like $3 or $4, $4 maybe.
Yeah, if you can shop, you can get it under $5.
Under $5, I love Spellqueller. I like Mausoleum Wanderers at under a buck, even at a dollar, because that's a four of in the deck. But most of the staples in that deck, I think, are great pickups and have a lot of room to grow. Speaking to Aetherworks Marvel, we were talking about that. I don't know. I have my gut tells me that this effect is so powerful and these big things that people are doing with Emrakuls and with Ulamogs. I don't know if this is going to be the season's pass breakout, as was before, but I think it does have a shot. If it does, it is a hard four of in all the Marvel decks. And
right.
I mean, that as a mythic, as a four of, I think it sees, if it goes to tier one, I think it sees $20 over the weekend. Expensive buy-in, I think it's like $7 right now. It is a little high. It's a lot more high risk. But I think that one, that one's got, you know, it's a high risk play. It's volatile, but it could really, it has a lot of room to pop.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we'll see more of the same in, you know, just to talk about other mythics. I think, yeah, Aetherworks Marvel is definitely a boom or bust. I agree with you. I like the deck. I played the deck. I think it has, you know, a shot. I just don't know if this is an archetype that pros specifically want to solve for a pro tour. This definitely kind of seems more of an accepted strategy in like the Star City game opens, you know, FNM level. I just don't know if we'll be seeing it on the big stage. But like you said, I mean, that's all part of being the boom and bust. I mean, it's either all or nothing. Byproducts of that, I mean, I think we're still going to see, I mean, Virtus Gearhulk is just, I mean, it's an absolutely powerful card. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason not to play it. I mean, it's for 5 mana. You don't need to base your strategy around it. Like, you just play the card, and it just does amazing things on its own. I think we'll see cards like Emrakul, which either is going to be a byproduct of the Aetherworks list, or people are just going to be like, hey, I'm still playing Emrakul. I mean, nothing's changed. Kaladesh is cool and all, but, I mean, what are you going to do about my Emrakul? Right.
Yeah, and I mean Emrakul. I don't know. I mean,
$30 is kind of steep.
Maybe optimistic. It might be optimistic. Buy-in is I think $15 right now, which is quite high. I mean, it spiked last Pro Tour to 30. It could do that again, but it's going to be reliant. I mean, Emrakul is reliant on either like these Marvel combo decks or some kind of control. I think in the control shells, it's only maybe a one of. It's tough, man. I actually think that one's probably a little bit more higher. I mean, I do like it. I think it's at a low point right now at 15 and definitely has room to grow. How high it can go is the question mark for me. So a little risk, but possibly. The other mythic, since we're moving into sort of these control-y mid-rangey decks that I think is actually pretty interesting is, Torrential Gearhulk, which is a blue one. I know that it's been tested a lot in the kind of the Esper control list. I know Shaheen Surani, who writes over at Star City, he loves this card. Thinks it's sort of like the standard Snapcaster, which in some theoretical sort of outlines it kind of is. I mean if control strategies really aggressively try to adapt to these aggro strategies, I think Torrential Gearhulk is definitely going to be the kind of card that's going to fit right into those blue control strategies.
Yeah.
Probably no more than a two of. So again, we're talking about maybe a card that hits $10 to $12, and I think the buy-in right now is about $6 or $7. So there's some room there, but I do like Torrential Gearhulk, particularly if you're interested in seeing sort of the alternatives, control strategies.
I think it's good. I don't know if, like you said, I question the ceiling on this card. I do think it's a good preventative measure. I like Torrential Gearhulk. I didn't like it more than Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I definitely, I think I backed the right horse, but, yeah, I think that's a pretty good consideration too. I have seen them in these, you know, again, coming out of the Haruryu list. I mean, you could go and do a search for yourself. I think it's a good place to kind of extract some information. Like I said, we're kind of devoid information going into the Pro Tour. So I thought Haruryu was a really good, kind of well of, you know, information to kind of just gauge. Well, you know, what are they, you know, are these going to be trends maybe the Japanese players bring to the Pro Tour? Maybe there's something there. Because we, like I said, on the other end, everything's really been hush-hush. And like I said, we haven't seen, you know, we only really got to see 1 week of Kaladesh Standard. That's all we were really exposed to. We didn't even get to see it last weekend because I think we had a limited GP. So, you know, despite some IQs, which are like, you know, IQs are almost glorified FNMs. I mean, yeah, you can get some information out of there. I really respect, like, I mean, a lot of these turnouts for the Haru Realists. I mean, they break down all the information. I mean, you got like 40 or 50 people coming. You know, that's not, you know, high-end EV, you know, event, but I mean, enough of them, you get to see at least some trends.
No, and I mean, look, you're coming into a Pro Tour, we have the you know, the Asian region players coming in and the international players. I think it's actually really important to take a look and see what's going on overseas. No, I think that's great. I'm kind of curious, Chaz, if you have any thoughts on Planeswalkers. Obviously, you know, Sean,
I do actually.
The new Jace. That everyone was so excited about. Chandra has interestingly been absent from from the new competitive scene or format. So what are some of your thoughts on?
I mean, there's a reason for that. I mean, could it resurface at the Pro Tour? Absolutely. I doubt it. I mean, it's just too slow to deal with what you needed to deal with, and it really doesn't protect itself as well as I initially thought. I mean.
Yep.
Even if you have your Chandra out, even if you're going before I am, if you're on the play, I mean, you still can't deal with my Verdurous Gearhulk. I throw a counter onto it and throw my counters onto other stuff. And, I mean, now you can't deal with my Gearhulk, and you probably still – and, yeah, and you actually still can't deal with my Sylvan Advocate.
Exactly.
You know, you can't deal with the stuff that Verdurous Gearhulk is doing. You can't deal with Smuggler's Copter because it's sorcery speed. You can't deal with – you know, you could deal with this little stuff, but, again, it's just not – I mean, you're flame slashing my Toolcraft Exemplar. Like, all right, you want to spend 4 mana to deal with my Toolcraft Exemplar? That's not really a great trade in your favor. So there's reasons why, you know, some of these cards are declining. I still have high hopes for Nissa Vital Force. I think it's that card that most pros will, you know, identify and could do good things with. And in terms of Planeswalkers, you know, I'm not really high on any of the other ones. Other than, yeah, Nissa and now Tamiyo, because Todd Stevens did play, you know, he packed a full 4 of them. I like what Tamiyo's doing. A lot of, you know, circuit writers like Todd Stevens in the Star City Games circuit, even up to pros, are saying, you know, Tamiyo can deal with, you know, Smuggler's Copter stuff, and it does protect itself well right now. It is Bant, but I think it still can be played as a 4 of. And Bant still has a lot of good things going for it. It's like the general all-around good stuff list. And I think Tamiyo is a good replacement for, you know, Collected Company, that Void.
Yeah, we talked about this before. I still really like Nissa. In a world of Smuggler's Copters, I think Nissa is able to survive well against it.
Yeah,
that's another one where I understand why the Planeswalkers have taken sort of a hit in the format due to Smuggler's Copter, but
yeah.
Nissa ticks up to 6. She can take a hit. You know, she's now, you now have a 5/5 that deal with. I mean, there's still a lot of upside to playing Nissa, and I agree with you. Just as before, I think that Nissa is going to be the one walker that ends up being tested heavily by pros. I know that there are some teamer rug lists that are jamming Nissa. It's sort of their Marvel lists, or they're just kind of like rug strategies, mid-range strategies that are using Nissa. So I think there's a lot of room there. Tamiyo, I like. I actually, to be completely honest with you, I wasn't aware of the deck that was the you said the Bant list that
Todd Stevens, you know, yeah.
That's actually pretty cool, and I think she's at her low right now as well.
Yeah, so all-time low.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I like that one a lot. Which is also could be another sleeper that people sort of haven't paid attention to. It could be a really good pickup.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I am going into the Pro Tour. I mean, I have my small list. It's a small list of cards. I'm not really going super deep. I think if, you know, you have to kind of look at a Pro Tour. I mean, a lot of it's a gamble. I mean, if you want to have cards, you know, beforehand, it's better to have cards beforehand, but I understand, like, you know, things happen. So that's kind of like why we were, you know, emphasize you need timely information in case you have to make a buy the day of. It's going to be a little harder to sell because of the lag between, you know, buying and shipping and the card pricing. You know, it's all over the place after a Pro Tour, but I feel pretty good about this small list of cards going into it. I also like one more Mythic out of the Shadows of Innistrad. Eldritch Moonblock is Ishkana. Ishkana fell considerably from pre-orders. It fell considerably, you know, from just, you know, Pro Tour Eldritch Moon. Still kind of sitting around like the $5 to $7 range. If you can get them at like $5, I think that's going to be pretty good.
Well, and Delirium's not going anywhere.
No, it's not.
Top eight of the Open. It is a tier one deck. It's going to be around. It's going to be at the Pro Tour. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's just one of those cards that the ship hasn't really sailed yet. I mean, Grimflayer, it's kind of steep. You know, I really like Ishkana. And like I said, I mean, it can go into a multitude of archetypes. I mean, you have Ramp, you have, you know, maybe even Aetherworks Marvel with all this Cathartic Reunion, the teamer list. You know, you are dumping a lot of stuff into your graveyard. You're looking at Grixis list or, Emerge list. You know, they play it as like a one or two of. You have, the Delirium list, like you said. So there's a multitude of strategies that just like throw in Ishkana because why not?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I think we have a few minutes to talk about interests, and that'll probably wrap things up. Why don't we talk about a few interests?
Yeah, so if we go ahead and take a look at the interests for last week, Leovold, which...
Hey!
Hey, Chaz! for those of you that don't know, Chaz loves Leovold, and Leovold is now... it's spiked up to $25, so if you got your Leovolds... Enjoy the new price for Leovold, I guess.
Oh man,
have you actually been playing with that card, Chad?
Yeah, it's my dual commander list.
Nice.
It's the French dual commander. Yeah, I love it. It's a great card. I got a foil version. It was kind of expensive, but not as expensive as like the current pricing. Right. So I kind of lucked out there.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean. Can we talk about Conspiracy for a second? Do we have a couple minutes? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I actually think it's time to revisit Conspiracy. Conspiracy 2. I know I really love the set. We all talked about it on this cast along with Corbin. I think we're going to start seeing stuff like this. It might not be, you know, a rapid fire amount of cards like spiking out of Conspiracy, but now look what we already have. We have Leovold over 20. We have Silvala coming up from like $3 to a $15 mythic. I mean, as these other mythics go down, the planeswalkers like, Kaya and, what was the other one? The Duretti. You know, as these cards are coming down, something's gonna soak up that value.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, I think that, even Serum Visions is starting to go up. You know, this set, and I know a lot of other people in the community talked about the conundrum with this set, because basically everyone stopped opening it after that first weekend, right? So it's nobody's opening it anymore. No one really cares.
Yeah, it is out there though. I mean,
but it's there. That's the problem. So the difficulty here is at what point, you know, do cards start going up so much that the boxes
start cracking boxes, right?
Exactly. So there's this gray line in between where cards are gonna sneak up and people aren't gonna notice. They're gonna be climbing slowly on the interest, and next thing you know, Serum Visions is back up to $6 or whatnot, right? And then, you know, vendors or players might go, oh, there might be a renewed interest in Conspiracy, not necessarily a heightened interest, but they're like, oh, okay, well, let's start cracking it, and then maybe these cards go down again. So it's really tough. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's definitely time to kind of take a look at this, because the behavior on some of these cards has, I mean, just look at Leovold and just look at Silvala. The foils, obviously, we don't even need to talk about. I mean, but the foils are always going to be, you know, kind of the hot items in those sets. So
yeah,
skewed on the foil side. But I would say, you know, I mean, look, no reason to if you can get some of these as throw-ins and trades, particularly the mythics, you might as well. I mean, or some of the key rares, like go ahead and take them in trades. I think that some of these are going to have some more room for growth. It's so tough to say given the amount of supply. You know what I mean?
Right. And like you said, yeah. But to be fair, we did have that conversation with the previous Conspiracy. Oh, you know, like what, you know, but people just didn't end up opening them, right? We still had like multiple $100 foils, multiple $50 foils, multiple, I mean, there, the normal copies, I mean, there wasn't really many cards over $10. And we talked about this on Cast, actually, with Corbin. The difference, the big key difference from Conspiracy 1 to Conspiracy 2 are these, you know, bona fide commander...
Right.
Commander generals, I guess. Silvala, Queen Marchesa, and Leovold that we did not have the first time around, especially because they're so good. I mean, Leovold is great, Silvala is great, and now we look to Queen Marchesa, the normal copies. I mean, that's still the last one where it's like it's $3, could easily start creeping up like the original Marchesa, where now you see like a, you know, $12 to $13, or I think the original was up that high, right? Yeah, like $8 to $10, and then the foils start going up. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely correct. And I think if you're going to target anything, it is these staples. Chaz, I think you hit on the nail on the head with Queen Marchesa. I think that's a great if you're really looking at one.
There's another one too that I would I'm going to say on Cass. I mean, I would like to stash a few of these away myself. It's just like, you know, the long haul game. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think it'll get there at some point. The Throne of the High City, I think, is the land. It's like 40 cents, and that could easily just be at least a couple bucks card. And I know that doesn't sound great, like, hey, you know, stashies away, it's going to be like $2 to $3. I mean, that's a significant increase.
Oh, the one that makes you the Monarch. The one
yeah, I'm starting to see them, especially, I mean, in Dual Commander lists. And if I'm seeing them in Dual Commander lists, I can definitely see them in, you know, widespread Commander lists. It's a great utility land.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the takeaway here is if you see these, they're not to be ignored, I should
right,
say. Like,
right.
I would say that, you know, before, I think the notion was, look, just forget Conspiracy, it's out. But kind of seeing the price behavior that we've been noticing on these, I think if you can get them as throw-ins, you can get them as trades, particularly things like Marchesa, mythic like Marchesa, which is a commander and is just sitting at $4. No reason not to go ahead and take them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of the last, like, all right, you know, Leovold has increased, Savala's increased. So it's like,
yep.
Next up, you know, that's kind of how I see it. And as, like I said, as these other cards fall, I mean, Berserk is great, Show and Tell is great, but I mean, who's really buying those, right? Like, who's buying those over, you know, my commander stuff, right? There's so much more interest for that than, you know, people buying, I don't know, you know, other stuff.
Yeah. The broad point here is, I guess start paying attention to Conspiracy.
Definitely start paying attention.
Don't ignore it. I've noticed it too, Chaz. I've been surprised to see it just, they've been creeping up on the interest at an interesting rate. Yeah. So just keep your eye on the Conspiracy and go ahead and pick them up, where you can as throw-ins.
Yeah.
So continue to go along. We see a lot of Kaladesh movement, a lot of Kaladesh growth, obviously, a lot of stuff on the backs of the vehicles deck. No surprise there. We've got a couple of reserve list cards that are going up. No surprise there. Ether Hub, which is really interesting to me, only because I know everyone knew that card was good going in, but that definitely shows, it's definitely an indication that, that energy is being played with and tested. You know, how much that's being parlayed into, you know, decks on the low or other type of decks that they're going to utilize it. But I think seeing Ether Hub kind of see the spike that it had, it's now a $3 uncommon, definitely shows that energy is something that people are experimenting with. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So again, you know, going back to things like Marvel and things that play the energy, these are just kind of things you could be thinking about, when cards like this are going up significantly. Here we go. We see Selfless Spirit, another one we were talking about that's gone up. A lot of things that we've sort of noticed. Interestingly enough, Gideon, has been going up, and from what I understood, Gideon was sort of trending downwards.
Yes, it was.
Have you noticed anything going on with Gideon?
Yeah, we talked about Planeswalkers. I did not mention Gideon then, so kind of shame on me, but I will mention it now. I mean, it's the Planeswalker to play. I mean, these red-white vehicles lists are popular right now. I don't know if it's, like you said before earlier in the cast, I don't know if it's going to be the, you know, conversation of the Pro Tour. It will definitely be there, but, I mean, Gideon is the go-to Planeswalker. I mean, if you have a choice between, you know, Chandra, you know, Tamiyo or whatever, I mean, Gideon's always there. He's always at the party, you know.
Otherwise, you know, we go to the bottom here. We're seeing a lot of the, you know, reserve lists and some older casual cards.
The caveat to the BFZ and the OGW at this point is like, they're the first to rotate. So I don't know. I'm kind of more hesitant to start looking back as far as that.
Interestingly, Eldrazi Displacer now has gone up to about $5. I know we kind of all expected that card to go up, but how do you feel about the Eldrazi list? I know the black-white Eldrazi list was expected to be kind of a real serious deck, and it kind of hasn't really reared its head. Is there any, besides Deep Fiend, is there any value to be found in the Eldrazi?
All those Eldrazi are good. All of them. I mean, they have modern appeal. They're all good. I mean, you go back to Reality Smasher, Thought Not Seer, Eldrazi Displacer. All of those are multi-format, cards at this point.
I'm just wondering if they're going to really pop in standard.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at this point, like I said, it's the first of the blocks to rotate. So I think hype, a lot of logic is thrown out the window. So, could they increase off a great, Pro Tour showing? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would keep that in mind too.
Another one here on the interest that kind of caught my eye, and I've heard some rumbling about, is Gavinny Township.
Which got
up 7%. It's up to about $6 now. I've heard some talk on other platforms, on Twitter and such, that there's been people that have been moving in on this card. I have no idea the veracity of that.
Yeah, it has increased in the past. It's a great card to own. I don't know at this point what the ceiling is, and yeah. I think there is a general concern about it being reprinted. Because, Innistrad is on the table for this upcoming Modern Masters. Definitely seems like a land that could be included. I don't know if it will be, but I think that's why there's, hesitation at this point.
No, 100%. And that's a good point that you bring up, Chaz. Whenever you're looking at the interest and looking at the list, be sure to keep in mind that we are, coming in March, we're going to have Modern Masters 2017 that is going to have Innistrad and up. So, bear that in mind whenever you're picking up any of these cards that you're speculating on. Anything is up for grabs as far as reprints, particularly if it's played Modern.
Yeah, I mean, there's still enough time where it could just go up, double up, or, 10, $12 at that point. So there's definitely time where you could just purchase and, sell them if you need them, or hold them if you have them. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not too optimistic there.
Yeah. Anything that you'd kind of notice, cut your eye, or anything you'd like from
the list? No, not particularly. I think you nailed everything on there. I mean, like I said, Kaladesh is going to be in flux. So, going forward post-Pro Tour, it's going to be a rapid decline, as we've seen yep. in previous Expedition sets, or I guess Masterpiece now. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, like I said, the Pro Tour is kind of that last stop.
Exactly.
Everything's going down from there.
That's kind of the model that it is. I think this is going to be the prevailing model, at least for a little while, is, you're going to have this first 2 to 2.5, maybe 3 weeks of serious growth where there's going to be a lot of opportunity. And then things are just going to, it's just going to tumble from there. Because let's be honest, once the Pro Tour sort of sets
the tone, right?
That's the tone. All right, we figured it out. Everything's good, and there's less interest in playing, but the fervor to pick up this stuff is diminished greatly. So
yes,
I would don't be deceived by seeing all these Kaladesh cards that are just going through the roof, or just seeing all kinds of growth. They're all gonna decline. One thing, Chaz, and Chaz hates to bring up the reserve list, but I just have to say this.
No, go ahead, yeah.
Wheel of Fortune is now pushing $40. I mentioned this, I think, several weeks ago. I mentioned this on the finance Facebook page.
Yep, you did.
Do Gearful around 25. It's now 40. It's going to keep on going up from there. Again, I'm not going to say it's going to spike or be bought out. I'm not suggesting anybody buy it out. But it's one of those cards that, just grab it while you can, because I suspect it's going to end up pushing 60 plus, maybe even upwards of $100. So when that happens, I don't know. But as always, if you want your reserve list cards, get them ASAP.
So was this the revised version you were talking about?
It's the revised version.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the ongoing thing with the reserve list cards. I mean, if you want them, there's no better time than now. Yeah.
You always have this somber tone whenever you talk about it.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm totally fine. I don't get into that whole thing. I think it's kind of, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to I'm kind of just done with it. Arguing with people over it. If they're going to do it, they're going to do anyway. Yep. So you know, I just, I, the, to me, it's like, it's kind of like questionable to kind of, you know, think of this as some like revelation that like you're, you know,
yeah.
This is some grand idea, like, to go invest in all the reserve list cards. Like, it's, like, obvious. I don't – yeah, I just don't advocate it, right? You know, if you need the cards, I obviously acknowledge that it's a good investment of your money, that the cards are never going to be reprinted. You don't have to worry about them, you know, losing their value if you ever need to use them. So that's kind of where I am with it. If you want to use them and play with them and you, you know, want to stash, you know, copies away, that's fine. I'm not going to – openly advocate like going in and like, you know, invest like as if it's a stock market kind of thing.
And just in case this question is popping up in anybody's head, no, I did not buy a bunch of of Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
I'm promoting it. I own zero copies of Wheel of Fortune. It was just something I noticed, decided to put out there. So yeah, we don't, we certainly don't,
we're transparent. Yeah. We're pretty transparent. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not buying out cards and promoting them in our cast or anything like that, you know? So anyways, cool, man. Well, yeah, I think we got the interest covered. So, I mean, we have the Pro Tour this weekend, so I don't, you know, pick up your Pro Tour specs now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everything that we talked about, try to do some more homework on the, you know, in this coming week. This cast is going to be going up on – I mean, I'll try to get up tomorrow. So we're recording Monday. By Friday, it usually goes up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning on MTG Cast, like always. So gives you plenty of time.
Yeah, and Chaz, great recommendation on checking out the Haruya sites. It's important to get your information from a multitude of sources. You want to see what other people are doing in the international space. That's going to inform a lot of what's going to happen because a lot of those decks end up being ported over. So definitely check that out. It's a great recommendation. And start prepping up for the Pro Tour.
Yeah. So join us on coverage. Tarkan and I will be around. Hit us up wherever you can. Yeah, so I think that's going to wrap it up. Sorry to be away for a couple weeks, but now everyone kind of knows the situation, and we will, you know, we'll do this again next week. We're going to try to be as, you know, prompt as possible. And like we said, we're going to try to get in some guests as regularly as we can to fill the void. But Tarkan, it's been great. We will do this again. Join us back for the Pro Tour and next week, and we'll kind of do a post-mortem. What?
Where can people hit you up?
Oh, yeah. Easiest place is Twitter, @ChazVMTG. I do writing on Quiet Speculation. I do the coverage, like I said. I do it all. So where can they find you?
@the_Tark on Twitter. And I do work over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. Come check that out. And then I do work with QS, so always check us out there.
Yep. All right, that's a wrap for this week. We will do this again next time. See y'all later.